Romans chapter 8, verse 13, in the King James reads, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." The New Revised Standard reads similarly, "If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." If you live according to the flesh, interesting language that Paul is using here in his letter to the Romans, living according to the flesh, living according to the ways in which we would, by our very natures as sinners, wish to live, living according to the desires of the flesh, living according to the ways that the old man of sin within, the sin nature that we have within us, would want to live. Living according to the flesh is not a good thing. And Paul makes that clear when he writes, "You will die if you live according to the flesh. You will die." If we live for ourselves, if we live for our own desires, if we live for our own gratifications, if we live according to our own way, what's that horrible song that Frank Sinatra used to sing? "I did it my way." Doing it my way doesn't cut the mustard in the spiritual walk with Christ. Doing it my way and not Christ's way is a recipe for disaster. Living according to the flesh gets you death. That's point number one today. Living according to the flesh, according to our own power, our own ability, living according to what we see and what we think is the right thing for us to do, living according to our own natures, doing what's best for number one, is a sure recipe for death. If not today, if not tomorrow, if not next week, then eternally, death. That's point number one. Living for the flesh, living for yourself, is death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's an interesting choice of words. Look at the NIV's reading there. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. The misdeeds of the body. You will live. How do we overcome the flesh? How do we overcome our own desires? How do we overcome that will within us that wants to do our own thing and not God's thing? How do we overcome the desire to do it my way? By the Spirit of God, friends. Not by your own abilities, not by your own strength, not by your own wisdom, not by your own power, not by your own way, but by God's way. By God's holy, powerful, gracious Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. Not our own power, God's power, the Holy Spirit within us. Let's keep going, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, it is true that everyone alive is, in one sense or another, a child of God. Every human being, from the most evil to the most saintly, I'm going to keep picking on him because I've been picking on him for months now, even Saddam Hussein, is in a sense a child of God. He is a human being for whom Jesus died. And if Jesus thought and loved him enough to die for him. That makes him, in some sense, a child of God. However, Paul in Romans is writing about something a little different. He is saying, For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're members of the family of faith. We're members of the household of the Father on high. We are members of the family. I like to think of it this way. Although this analogy breaks down really quickly, my dad loves children, cares for children. I know he does. But like all fathers, he has a special place in his heart for his own sons and grandchildren. He has a very special place in his heart for those children who are his, who love him and who want to live the life in obedience to his will. He has a special love for his own sons. So also, while God loves all people, while the Heavenly Father would want all children to be obedient, he has a special love and preference for those who have faith in him. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, is it that very Spirit? It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. A slightly different reading in the King James. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So, we have been given the Spirit of Almighty God, the wonderful, powerful Holy Spirit, the abiding real presence of Jesus in our lives, so that just as Jesus is the Son of God, we might be sons and daughters of God. And this Holy Spirit is not one of slavery. He doesn't lead us into slavery, into bondage, into the fear of slipping again back into the flesh. No. It is indeed the Holy Spirit within us, echoing and resonating with us, affirming the truth. And when we proclaim God to be our heavenly daddy, he has adopted us into his family and made us his children. That's good news, and that's point two. We are adopted by God into the heavenly family. As Paul writes elsewhere, we're made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That means we become joint inheritors with Jesus of the gifts and the graces of Almighty Father on high. We have been made part of the family of God, of our Heavenly Father. He has adopted us. And when we cry out to him, Daddy, Daddy, which is what this means here when it says Abba, Father. When we cry out to him, Daddy, Daddy, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Point two is, by flesh, if we live by flesh, point one is, if we live by flesh, we die. Point two is, if we live by the Spirit, proclaiming God the Father as our daddy, we live. If we live by the flesh, we die. If we live by the Spirit, proclaiming God our heavenly daddy, we live. What kind of a choice is that? It's a wonderful choice. It means we can choose which family we want to live in. We can choose which inheritance we're going to receive. We can choose. Yes, I want to follow God. Yes, I want Him to be my Father. Yes, I want to accept the grace that He offers me. Yes, I want to receive salvation. Yes, I want to receive the wonderful gift of His grace and life within me. Or we can choose to do it my way. Wow. We can't have my way and God's way. We can't do it my way and still have the Spirit of God in us. It's God, as the old saying goes, modified somewhat, misquoted, it's God's way or the highway eternally. We have a choice. And by God's grace, we are empowered to make that choice. Either we live according to the flesh, or we live according to the Spirit. And when we live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us echoes with us when we proclaim God, our Heavenly Father, our Daddy, that He loves us and will gather us in. We are indeed children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact, now, it sounded good, didn't it? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He's our brother. I mean, we always talk about Jesus as our Lord and our Savior and our Master. He's our brother too, friends. Joint heirs with Christ means He's our brother. And we are joint heirs with Him of the grace that the Father has for us. And ooh, that sounds good. It gives me goose pimples and I get all goose fleshy. And then it reads, if we suffer with Him so that we also may be glorified with Him. Oh, Paul, you had to ruin it. It's going to be good here. Here all we have is this wonderful choice. We can choose to live according to the flesh and die. Who wants to do that? We can live according to the Spirit and live and proclaim God our Father and have the Holy Spirit within us resonating and saying, Daddy, Daddy, and receive the wonderful grace that Jesus has to give to us. And then He has to lay on us the truth that it ain't just saying it. It's living it. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him. The NIV reads, if indeed we share in His sufferings. The NAS, the New American Standard, reads, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we also may also be glorified with Him. The King James reads, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, you can't get out of it by different translations, friend. It says the same thing essentially wherever you go. If in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Living this Christian life is more than just what we say. Living this Christian life is more than just saying, Father, I believe in You. Living this Christian life is more than just saying, I believe. It's placing your life on the line and truly living your belief. It is living as a child of God and all that that brings with it. And while I wish it was going to be nothing but sweetness and light and good, wonderful journeys, no bumps on the road, a wonderful rose garden, with no trouble at all, You set your life on the line and say, I want to follow God. You say, I want to be a child of God. I want to live according to the promises of Christ. I want to be a Christian. And then you really set out and be it. Guess what's going to happen? We'll be literal here. All hell breaks loose at you. Satan doesn't care about those who aren't doing nothing. Satan doesn't care about those who are not living in faith. Satan doesn't care about those who aren't proclaiming the Son of God as Savior. Satan doesn't care about those who are already going to hell. But if you put your life on the line, if you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, and you're going to live your life by that proclamation, you are hanging a target on your behind and daring Satan to come and kick you. I'm serious. Using metaphorical language, yes, but I'm serious and pretty literal. Satan doesn't care about those who are on an express trip to hell. He cares about those who are professing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you've pretty much hung a target on your rear, and He's going to shoot at you. That's why we need that Holy Spirit, the love of God, the presence of the Almighty Daddy within our lives. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to overcome the powers and forces of darkness and the flesh that wants to go its own way. Why is it so easy to want to sin? Oh, man. Think about it. I mean, it sounds easy, doesn't it? Instead of wanting to do the flesh and die, let's follow the Father and live. Oh, wow, that sounds great. And the first thing I do is go outside and see a reason to sin. We got done with church one Sunday. No sooner got back into the office than a certain church member, I'm looking at him, a certain church member comes into my office and says some words. And I looked at him and I said, you've got to go to the altar next Sunday already. I mean, we just got out of worship. We just got done and you got to go back to the altar, don't you? I do the same thing myself. Goodness, can't even get out of the sanctuary and do it. Yes, I did. Why is it so easy to sin? Why is it so easy to live in the flesh? Why is it so easy to get off the path? Why is it so easy to fail to be a child of God? Why is it so easy to say, Abba, Father, and then turn around and step out and find yourself in a few seconds, a few minutes, or a few hours sinning? It's because we face a life. It's because we have fallen from grace. It's because of what Adam and Eve did when they didn't listen to God. My friends, we are sinners. We have fallen and we need God's grace. And proclaiming it with our mouth is the beginning. But if we do not go on and live, if we do not go on and put our life on the line, if we do not go on and live according to the promises of Christ and live by the grace of God, if we do not move forward and put our lives where our mouths are, it's meaningless. And when we do that, we open ourselves to Satan's attacks, which draw us into temptation. And it's in those moments that we need to lay our lives on the line again, to lay our hearts on the altar before the Lord, to kneel in prayer and to ask the Holy Spirit to move through and overcome the nature of sin within us. That, my friends, is the calling we have as children of God. It is so easy to go astray. It is so easy to want to sin. It is so easy to not be the child of God that God wants us to be. But when we say yes, expect the temptations to fly and turn to the Holy Spirit and cry out to God, and He will help us overcome those temptations, and He'll see us safely home. My friends, I don't know what temptations are facing you today. I don't know what temptations are picking on your soul. I don't know what temptations are drawing you astray. I don't know why you're going to need to come to the altar and kneel and pray. God knows. Jesus knows. The Holy Spirit within you knows. Come and pray and turn over to God that temptation that is pricking at your soul, a temptation that is causing you to go astray. Recognize that sometimes indeed we must suffer with Christ so that we might be glorified with Him. Realize that sometimes when we live in the family of God as a child of God, it is easy to be tempted away. Trust in the grace of God. Trust in His powerful grace that can overcome our sin, set us back on the path, and in the end, see us safely home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.